When it comes to building an transformational discipleship ministry, we talked about the first phase, which was context, establishing your context for ministry. Once you have done that, and you have an established ministry that is well, that is defined, you know where you're going, you knowing how you're going to get there, you've positioned yourself as a neighbor, you understand what your role is as a part of the body of Christ, that you're one of many missionaries, Christian leaders around the globe that are serving God at this time, at this place. This is your kingdom moment where God is using you in the advancement of His kingdom. So you're playing a very important role. But you've established that context. But now once you've done that, now you need to create a culture. And there are two things that are critical to a transformational discipleship culture. One is thinking, and the other is apprenticing. Let's take a look at this. If you look at Jesus' ministry, there were two activities that were instrumental in His ministry, but we tend not to talk about them very much. And the first one was He apprenticed. I mean, He called His disciples to follow Him. He didn't put them in a classroom. Instead, He gave them a job. He gave them a task to do. And that task was to go and preach that the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and receive the gospel. So they were given a task. And they were involved in on-the-spot training. As they walked along, He taught them. He answered their questions. He helped them understand. Understand that when the disciples were walking with Him, He was not taking them through a catechism class. They had already grown up in the synagogue. They already knew the basic teachings. They understood, they had heard the Torah. They knew all of those things. Jesus is now involved with apprenticing them. As they are given a task, He is training them about that task, about life, answering their questions, and moving them towards the role that they will play in the church. But He did it through apprenticing. Then secondly, thinking. He fielded questions all the time. He was constantly responding to the questions and the concerns of the people around Him. He was constantly engaging people with giving them answers to their questions. So He was involved in getting people to think and apprenticing them. Well, there are two activities that are instrumental in transformational discipleship as well. One of them is thinking. This is what happens during the pre-adolescent or middle school age. You want to begin to get your youth comfortable with dialogue, honest answers to honest questions. And you want that talk to be real. You want that talking to be genuine. Many times in a Christian organization, if you're Christian and you're working with youth from the community, they know you're a Christian. Maybe they attend or are forced to attend church, but they really are not. They're not into Christianity, but they know how to talk to the Sunday school teacher so that the Sunday school teacher feels good about them. They know what the pat answers are. They know the God talk. When you have your youth program and you're asking them to think, you must be careful to reject any kind of talk that is superficial or phony. You want to establish a place where there can be real honesty. That kid who goes to church every Sunday but really has a lot of questions or really is upset about something, when they come into your group, they should be able to talk freely. But you have to establish that. You have to demonstrate that that really is what you want. And so that's why you have to reject the God talk. That's when you have to continue to ask probing questions. What do you mean by that? Is this really what you think? And you have to welcome them when they're being honest. Because when you do that, now they're free to think. They're free to think. And so thinking is a part of youth discipleship. You want them thinking. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free, will set you free. Well, we need to allow for the truth to penetrate young people's lives. But we can only do that if we allow them to think so that they can understand, they can hear, they can grasp for themselves what truth really is. So thinking has to be a part of it, and middle school is a great time. Okay, that's the early adolescent period. They're squirrely, they're crazy, but if you give honest answers to honest questions, if you create a safe space where they can be honest in their sharing and in their dialogue, then you have established something for them that is very precious for them. And they will utilize that time. Outside of your club program, in school or at home, they may feel they need to play games with people. They need to fool people. They need to tell people what they want to hear. But when they come to you in your group, they should be able to have meaningful exchange, meaningful dialogue, and they are learning through thinking, through asking questions, and by listening. They can do that. You want to establish that with your group. So thinking is very important. And then the second part is apprenticing. That's when, as young people, and ideally, this is ideal, when your middle schoolers, as they move into the high school age, that's when you want to invite them into your Emerging Leaders Initiative. Now, I say invite because being involved as an emerging leader, it involves teaching others. It will involve developing a program for elementary age kids. It will involve what you do with them a couple hours a week in teaching or leading a small group study. You will have to do hours in a week during the summer when you do. It could be an extended vacation Bible school, or you can actually do an extended tutoring program, or a summer day camp for elementary age kids. But they need to commit to doing that. So in doing so, when they commit to that, then they position themselves to where they can learn while doing. As they're working with kids and they're in a setting where they're teaching, that's when their divine imprint begins to show up. One young person might say, you know, I like studying how all this stuff fits together. Why are we doing all this? Another person will say, I seem to gravitate towards helping, putting things together. I'm kind of a helper. Another person might do something else. I like being the person up front and talking and engaging. Another person might say, I'm more of a thoughtful person. Those things, they won't say that, but it will come out in their behaviors and in their actions. And so they're being apprenticed. While they are doing, they are revealing who they are. And so that becomes an exciting time of this. It's a part of discovering who they are in Christ. Well, what does God say about this? What does God say about that? The apprenticing, the teaching, and what they learn through the experiential teaching and learning is just invaluable to them. So these two activities are instrumental: thinking and apprenticing. But how do you do that? There are tools for building a culture. Tools. One of them is what I call decoding. You've heard of the code of the streets, the unwritten rules. Well, if you've got this code, you've got this code of the streets that has penetrated young people's minds with thinking a certain way about how to survive in my setting, in my culture, then you must become skilled at decoding that. And then on the other side, if young people they've been to church, they've heard gospel messages, but those messages are not really clear about what God is saying, and you want them to really hear what God is saying, then you've got some decoding to do on the Bible side. You have to explain the gospel in bite-sized pieces. You must deal with misconceptions of the Christian faith, and you must decode false ideas young people have about the Bible, about Christianity, about the church. So you're doing decoding. You're discerning ideas, and then you're coming up with biblical ideas to challenge the ideas that have been formed because of the code of the street. So there's decoding. Then there is modeling. We talked a little bit about this before. We'll talk about it some more, because this is about living close enough to be studied, that your life is you're living a life that is worth imitating. Like, young people can spot a phony just like that. They're at that age where they can see very clearly through people. And so you want to live a life that is congruent between what you believe and your behavior, and that has integrity. And so modeling becomes very important. And then the last one is harambe. And I use the word harambe to describe the youth club meeting. Harambe is a Swahili word. It means let's get together and push, or let's pull together. It is a word that it's a rallying cry for unity. I believe it was the rallying cry for Kenya as they moved towards independence. But the Harambe moment is the youth club program, when that moment when you're meeting with the kids, and that's the time when you're getting those honest answers to honest questions. You're building that thinking kind of culture. And there are ways to approach Harambe. So we're going to talk about that as well. So decoding, modeling, Harambe, let's get together and push. These are the tools for building a transformational discipleship culture. And that's what we're going to get into next.